AY up on the screen. Who can tell me what the P stands for? The R stands for? The A stands for? And the Y? Or it could be yield. Thanks, Jenny, if you could put that up for me, that'd be great. So that's what the acrostic we use. I know a few people have used it in the prayer time. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. I also gave you a memory verse. Can anyone remember where the memory verse was from first? I'll give you a hint, begins with a P and it's not Peter. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Anyone game enough to have a go at it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Anyone else just want to try it? Oh, that went down well, didn't it? So much for the Sunday school teaching and the memory verse. Can I encourage you? That's a great verse to remember. And I said, we don't do memory verses just for the sake of it. We do that to remind us, hang on a second, when I'm feeling anxious, I can pray. That's what we have memory verses for. And there it is up on the screen there. So encourage you to go home, read that. But I want to pray now as Paul has encouraged us here. But let me pray as we just spend a bit of time thinking about the prayer life of Jesus this morning. Father, as we do come, as we think about your Son and how he prayed, as we think about how we pray, or perhaps sometimes don't pray, Father, help us this morning. Perhaps, Lord, encourage us. Perhaps, Lord, just spend some time saying, why don't you pray? Now, Father, please help us this morning. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, Jenny. So when did Jesus pray? We're looking at the prayer life of Jesus. There's approximately 25 references in the Gospels to Jesus and times he prayed. And with these references, he's showing us in Scripture just how important prayer is. That is communication with the Father. We find Jesus often, he prayed early in the morning. He prayed late at night. He prayed all through the night. He prayed before critical events in his life. He prayed as he ministered to others. He prayed before miracles. He prayed for others. One of the earliest references we have of Jesus praying, we find in Mark 1, verse 35. Thanks, Jenny. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. One of the last references we have of Jesus praying to the Father, we actually find on the cross. And we find it in Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's one of the last prayers. And I know that Peter's going to be sharing about the words of the cross on Good Friday. And he'll be looking at one of those scriptures there. But why did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed many times and on different occasions. However, it's perhaps helpful to ask the question, well, why did Jesus pray? And this sometimes has been a puzzling question to some people. After all, if Jesus is God, why did Christ need to pray? Theologically speaking, there are at least three reasons that I was thinking through why Jesus himself prayed. Number one is, Jesus prayed as an example to his followers. This is an example for us to continue on. Secondly, the incarnation of Jesus coming to earth consists of the divine and the human natures. From his human nature, it was perfectly natural for a Jewish believer such as Jesus to pray. Third, someone suggested also the nature of the Trinity allows for a communication between its members. As God the Son, Jesus could pray to God the Father. There's a communicant inside the Trinity there. But importantly, Jesus reminds us and himself why he prayed, and we find in Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I've had that a few times when I've just had to pray because, and Jesus spent a lot of time to make sure that even though the flesh was weak, that the spirit kept on leading him through, and he kept on praying to make sure of that. And that's an encouragement for us as well. But what better reward? Why did Jesus pray? Even though we have about 25 references to Jesus praying, we only have a few examples of what was included in those prayers. The longest prayer you'll find is in John 17. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed just after celebration. If you can flick up the screen there. It was just, he'd been finishing the actual Passover, and you'll find that he's in the upper room. Jenny, if you can flick up that one. In Jerusalem, if you've been there, this is what they, look, we don't know where the upper room was. That's an example on the outside, and that's the example on the inside. When I was over there in 2018, and I spent some time just sitting in that room, just thinking about that time when Jesus met with the disciples. It most probably wasn't that room, but it draws lots and lots of people in. But it's a time when you can sometimes reflect upon what happened at that Passover. One of those things was after he'd spent time with the disciples, he talked with them. We find Judas had left because just to betray Jesus. Then he spoke with them, and as he'd finished, then in John 17 we find the prayer. They're sitting around, and there he actually prays. And since about the 16th century, this prayer in John 17 has been called a number of things. It's been called the high priestly prayer. Others have called it the farewell prayer. Yet others have actually called it the Lord's Prayer. Why the Lord's Prayer? It actually was the prayer that the Lord actually made. We call the Lord's Prayer the prayer which really could be called just the disciples' prayer, because it was a prayer that they asked, well, how do we pray? And Jesus said, we pray under this manner, like this. So in a sense, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer as we hear him pray. And that prayer can be broken into three sort of parts, and you'll find the first one up there. First, we find he prays for himself, that he may praise himself, that he may be glorified. And I just want from 17, 1 to 5, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given himself authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I've glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I have with you before the world was. Is this a selfish prayer on behalf of Jesus? Jesus prays for his own glory. Perhaps as human beings, if we often take our focus off, then we could pray this sort of prayer. But you see, Jesus being God, as he prays that the glory may from him may be passed on to God. All things I do, may you be glorified in this. Some of that perhaps which we often say or encourage that the things that we do may bring glory just to God. I'm not quite certain all the things I do bring glory just to God. Jesus is saying here, all that I've done, all that you've done brought for me, may the glory be given just to you. The second one is a prayer just for the disciples. After praying for himself and the glory, Jesus prays for his disciples. And Jesus gives three reasons for this prayer. Firstly, these disciples are his. They are a gift from the Father. He spent 3.5 years with them. He knows them intimately, and they were very precious to him. That's perhaps how we should be thinking about our prayer. Perhaps you've heard of the minimal prayer of the man who said he prayed for his wife and himself and his son John and his daughter Judy and no more. Some of us perhaps may pray that way. I remember Peter, if you remember Peter last week shared, he prays for his family, for his children every single day. Jesus prayed for his disciples, something we can learn from. Secondly, Jesus is conscious that he's leaving these men behind and he's concerned for them. He prays that they will be kept in the midst of the world. And that's very important. For centuries, some Christians have read the scriptures indicating that because the world is a dangerous place, we ought to keep as far from it as we can. We ought to put up the walls around our family, around our churches, and keep the world out. That was certainly a strong thought for quite a period of time. We don't want to be damaged when the input of the world into our lives and into our church. But we are clearly not to isolate ourselves from the world. When Jesus sent these men to preach, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep into the midst of wolves." You'll find in Matthew 10:16. Now, no sensible shepherd would ever do that, for wolves are dangerous animals. With one slash of their teeth, they can rip a sheep's throat wide open. And the world can be a bit like that. And that can be for believers as well. And like the disciples back then, we must never forget that the world is a dangerous place. The only safeguard is provision the shepherd has made to be with us and actually in us. Maintaining the loving relationship with him is what enables Christians to be in the world but not of the world, to make contact with the world, to establish friendships in the world, and yet to be kept from increasingly terrible dangers of the world. Margaret mentioned I had a great opportunity on Friday to go to the mustard tree and sat around, had a coffee. Lovely coffee, can I tell you? You must go along. I love coffee. I've drink coffee all around the world. But this wasn't a bad one at all. It was great. I actually asked where they got it from, and it was great. But as I spent time there, I actually prayed before I went. I knew I was hoping that the Lord would lead me to sort of people, and many wouldn't be Christians, and that's quite okay. But then I asked also, please, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, lead me to whoever, just today, who you want me to speak to or just spend some time with. And that's so important for us in our lives, wherever we go and whatever just we do. Jesus' world view, that's how he looked at the world, was that God was at the centre. But he also saw around the world, he saw the world as also a dangerous place. And we've got to have a similar world view to that. God is the centre. He's the creator. But the world view is that many have fallen away from him and haven't listened to him. So we need to be listening. And he's provided us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us through that time. The question is, do we listen? Do we use the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us? Well, thirdly, we find in the last part of the prayer, we find that he prays for all believers. May want to go back one, I think, Jenny. Oh, I missed one. Hey, I apologise. So thirdly, thanks, Jenny, sorry. Thirdly, Jesus' request for these men is that they may be sanctified. And we read in verse 17 at the end of this prayer for the disciples, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You'll find at the end there. To sanctify here means to set apart and can be seen in two ways. First, to set apart for holiness. As Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 3, we are to be transformed or being transformed. But also set apart here can also mean for service. And the paramount thing which guides and informs our sanctification, to be sanctified, our transformation and our service for God, is God's word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. That's what guides our transformation and our service. Thanks, Jenny. Just the last one there. Then we find Jesus prays for all the believers, we find in verses 20 to 26. And we read in verses 20 to 22. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Ray Steadman, in a message, writes this. Notice the inclusiveness of his words. He says, I do not pray for these only, he's referring to the 11 apostles, but also for those who believe in me through their word. There is a sentence that extends clear across the running centuries of time. He's praying for all the millions of people who have come to believe through the apostolic word. I pray for these and those. They add up to the word all, that they may be alone. And I remember sitting in that room in Jerusalem, in the upper room, and thinking about Jesus prayed for me. As he prayed for all the blessed, and he prayed for you. That's a great thing to think about, isn't it? He prayed for all the believers, all who will believe through the word. And I remember coming quite overwhelmed with that. You think about the Son of God actually prayed for you. That's an awesome thing to think about. And he continues to pray for us as well. We sang the song before the throne of God above. One of Jesus' roles now is that the great high priest continually interceding for us at this period of time. The apostles have given us the word, the truth. The church is to rest upon the witness. We don't need modern-day apostles. The writer to Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last spoken to us by his Son. There is no new revelation. In the past, yes, but Hebrew tells us in the past there was, but now he's spoken through his Son. Scripture has closed. And we need to be so careful as believers now, because you will find, and I find every now and again, people say, well, there's a new truth now. I'm going, that's interesting. I thought I had the whole truth here. This is God's word. We need to be very careful that we hold strong to that word. As I've travelled in different parts of the world, you know, the most interesting thing, I've met people of different coloured skins, totally different backgrounds. Some I've sat in church service and I had no idea what they were singing because they were in different language. They've actually preached in another. I always picked up the word Jesus Christ in another language. You can usually pick that one up in some sort of way. It's interesting how that one always works. But you know, the one thing which always, as soon as we got together, I knew that we were brothers and sisters together. We were believers just together. There was just something about we now, over those many years, are together as one. Those ones that Jesus prayed for especially. Thanks, Jenny. Jesus prays, and Luke reminds us in Luke 5:15 and 16. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him for their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus often did that. The word often is not hidden, but makes it obvious that Jesus prayed regularly. In fact, he still intercedes and prays for us, as I talked about before in Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Throughout the Gospels, whenever we read of Jesus and prayer, it comes up regularly and naturally. It was actually simply, it was part of his everyday world. He prayed all the time and for all different things and seeking God's will on those things. I suppose the question is, can we say that our lives are like Jesus in the way that we pray? I've got to admit that mine isn't all the time. Jesus prayed at different times and for all different reasons, difference on the way through. As such, Peter, Darrell and myself want to encourage our individual and the prayer life of the church through this series, The Priority of Prayer. We want to encourage you to join together as part of LBC in 28 days of prayer. For those who read the news sheet, you would have found some details of what we are suggesting. I'm going to ask Mike and Graham. Just can you do me a favour, Mike? Could you hand out one of those to everybody who's here? There'd be a few spares over. If you've read the news sheet, you would have got it. But I just want you to take this home with you. As they're handing it out, I'll just wait till that's come out. I'll start reading it. So what we're encouraging is, as part of prayer, we want to preach on prayer. We want to involve you in prayer, which is a whole different thing. We can preach till the cows come home. Or sprouts come home, whichever one of the two. But where the rubber hits the road is when we actually do pray. Jesus' worldview was he prayed all the time. So we want to encourage you over the next 28 days, which just leads up to Easter, you are encouraged to join with others at LBC in praying every day as we continue seeking God's will, leading guidance as we move forward with the future directions of his church. It's not my church. It's not Gordon's church. This is God's church. We need leading and guiding from him. And I love this acrostic. I keep using it over and over. I just find it as a helpful one, okay? Pray. So what I'm assuming, you don't have to use it, but I'm saying this is a good model. You may want to begin with, and I think it's always good in your little prayer time to praise. Read a psalm each day, and I've suggested start off with Psalm 90 and go through to 118. Then add your own praise. Repent. Reflect upon 1 John 1:8 to 10. And you'll find he speaks about if you say that you don't sin, then you're a liar. But he says, okay. And then I want you to just spend a few moments just in prayer, seeking forgiveness. Ask. And further to our recent revitalized program, I want to encourage you to seek God's will, and we met as the leadership team, the elders and the pastors last Sunday, and we looked at three main things which came in, because we can't do everything out of the revitalisation. We looked at three, we thought, the things that we'd like to move forward with. But what I want you to pray is, God, as we look at these things, please, please lead and guide us. Sometimes, how these things often happen in churches, we say, let's start this program. Then we say, God, can you please bless it? And I'm going, hang on, shouldn't it be the other way around? Lord, what you want us to lead us into, please help us to join you, not you come to join us, which is often how these things are. This is why we're encouraging 28 days. Just spend, but it's not going to be a long period of time. It could be five to 10 minutes every single day. Mustard tree, continued care, outreach, new work, perhaps a micro church. Aged care, developing new ministries to people in aged care. Family, reaching out to families in new ways in our area. But also allowing God to speak to you, but saying, okay, there's something which I want you to do. I want you to tell the church about. So I've left that one there as well. It's not praying, God, we're going to start a micro church. Please bless it. It's about God, as we've been through our revitalization, as we continue praying, the whole church praying for 28 days, really listening to God and saying, Lord, as we have seen it, but please lead and guide us. Does that make sense, what I'm saying there? Then the yield one comes in, all right? There's always got to be one. Therefore, when you find a therefore in Scripture, you always go, what's it there for? Well, there's a therefore. Yield. Well, the lead up to Easter, I want you to reflect on Mark 10, verse 45. And Jesus says, I didn't come to serve, but I didn't come to be a servant. I came to serve, whatever the first one is. I didn't come to be served, but to be a servant. I knew I'd get it eventually. Read it. It's in Mark. Open your Bibles up. Then seek what God is saying to you about how you can best serve Him at LBC. And maybe what He's saying to you is, I want you to pray every single day for the next 30 years. That could be what He says to you. Or He could be saying, I want you to do this. But yielding is really saying, God, we've been praying this one, but where do I fit into this? What are you saying to me about how I yield my life to you? Does that make sense? 28 days. If you miss a day, can I tell you, you won't get a black X, all right? It doesn't work that way. I've got a God who forgives. I have no doubt I'm not going to do it every single day, but I will try to do it every single day. But you know what's something? I spoke to Daryl and Peter. I said, the most encouraging thing is to know that other people in the church are praying every day with you as well for the same thing. Isn't that encouraging? To me, that's really encouraging. As a pastor, that's really encouraging to know that we're on the same page. Then the first Sunday after Easter, I spoke to Peter the other day, we're going to have a bit of a revision about prayer, and we're going to allow you to then feed back to us. How was that prayer time? What did you hear? What are you being led into? So we're going to, we are going to allow for that feedback time, for that prayer time especially. So can I just encourage you? That's why you've got the little thing, because I know not everyone reads the news sheet. So that's why you've got one of those things there. And we're having that there for the next couple of weeks. So people who haven't been able to be there this week. Can I pray for us? And then I'm going to ask the musos, and they're going to head over here now, because I want us to sing a song. A song which is a challenging song about, what are you asking me to do, God? Let me just pray first. Eh? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we thought about today how your son prayed, his prayer life. And as we learned, he prayed many times in many ways for all different things. Father, it was his worldview. It was his life. Father, I've got to admit that I'm not like that. And there's times when I know I should have prayed, but I didn't. But thank you for the times that I have prayed and you've led and guided me. Please help me to do that more. Please help us as a church over the next 28 days to be in prayer, seeking your will. Father, we've done a great revitalizing program. You've been in that. You've helped us think it through. And Father, as we now come up with, as we think about three things, Father, we want to bring them before you to ask of you and say, God, as we thought about it, what are you saying to us? How? When? Please help us. Because, Father, this is your church. It's not our church. And we want to be doing your will, not our will. We want to be led by you and not by us. We want your guidance. Please help us. So, Father, I pray for your church here for the next 28 days as we just spend time with you, that we may grow deeper in a time with you. That, Father, we may hear and be led by you. We ask that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.